choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day, influence your future. It is time to fight to make it better. This podcast is dedicated to you, to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I know we can change that, and we must change that. I want you to learn this game. I want you to be better educated about your money. I want you to live a better life. Welcome to Money is Personal, Briggs Financial Podcast. Let's go! Salutations, greetings, and hello! My name is Stephen Briggs. I'm Chairperson and CEO of Briggs Financial Incorporated. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 168, Breaking the Seal on Investment Savings. It is very common for people, once they have built a significant amount of wealth, to begin tapping into it for their needs. Oftentimes, people get so focused on growing the number, they can lose sight of why exactly they were growing that number to begin with. They understand it's important to have a nest egg. It's important to have resources for an uncertain future. I mean, heck, if you pick up any insurance or financial planner book or investment manager brochure, rather, you'll likely see that spelled out or implied in some way, shape, or form. Some various forms of coding of protecting your future, you know, weathering all seasons, da-da-da-da-da. Okay. But that doesn't necessarily get to the real heart of the matter, which is, what can my wealth do for me, including before I am retired? The core of where that concern is, it in terms of the fear of touching that nest egg, makes a lot of sense. Most people come from families, and let me say this again, most people come from families that do not have strong finances. Vast majority of people come from families that did not have a very good financial foundation, may still not have a very good financial foundation. And some people really struggle with, or have struggled in the past, with consumerism, with being trapped by spending over saving. They may have grown up as a kid with parents that had real money troubles and struggles and whatnot. And so there's a real fear about heading back in that direction. There's also the worry that spending wealth is wasteful. And without question, there are definitely ways you can logically trap yourself into thinking something is an investment in quotation marks, when in fact it is not. Today's podcast, though, is about how to approach these reasonable fears and concerns. And I'd like to offer offer a framework for how to evaluate when liquidating investments might make sense, even if that's well before retirement. You know, the challenge regarding wealth building and saving versus spending is generally a juxtaposition of meeting the needs and wants of today with the potential needs and wants of a future that may or may not exist. For example, I hear all the time from planners about how much they love Roth IRAs, Roth conversions, backdoor Roths, etc., for the notion of post-tax savings in retirement. So you put money in, you pay taxes now, the growth is tax-free. When you go to withdraw it, you don't have income. But here's the kick. What if you die before you reach retirement age, like my mom did? So if that happens, that vigilance towards saving and going down that road had no benefit really for herself whatsoever. None. She never got to realize any of that. Does that mean that contributing to a Roth was a bad idea? Not necessarily. But there's real value in also living a good quality of life in your younger years as well. So with that, I guess balancing that, here are at least a couple of lines of thought on where it may make sense to make a trade, or may make sense to say, you know what, maybe I'm okay parting with some of my stock to do something that would be very impactful today. I want to give you at least a few scenarios, some of which I think are probably a little more justified than others. Number one, can you purchase time with your wealth? As an investment manager, I can select from a wide ocean of investment options for clients. But of all the things I can buy, one of the big things I cannot purchase for a client is time. And let me give you an idea, give you a little perspective, an idea how important this might be. Suppose you are 90 years old, and you don't know how long you have to live, but you are told that for about $500,000, you could have 250 additional days to live. Would you take the deal if you had the money? Most people would say absolutely. Three quarters of a year or two thirds of a year for $500,000 seems pretty easy. Okay, so now imagine that you're in your late 30s or early 40s, and you have a 45-minute commute each way to work. But if you liquidated $100,000 from your investment account, you could now afford a house that's 15 minutes away from work or the kids' school, whatever it is that you're commuting to. That would save you an hour a day, estimate at, let's call it 200 days a year, so 200 hours a year. If that continued for 30 years, you would recover 250 days of your life, just like I proposed earlier. Now, historically, real estate value has grown by about 5.4% a year since 1992, whereas the S&P 500 has grown at approximately 10.4% a year over the same time period, which is a difference of 5%. That 5% difference on $100,000 compounds to $432,000, meaning that for under $500,000 in the gap in value across a 30-year mortgage, you could buy 250 days of your life back doing something other than sitting in your car commuting. I'm a big fan of that trade. We inconvenience ourselves oftentimes at considerable time expense to avoid financial expense. But there does come a point in life and financial development where that pendulum swings the other direction. And in this case here, where I talk about the idea of putting, you know, liquidating stocks in order to be able to feel, you know, purchasing a home that would save you that time, you aren't losing the outright ability to own an asset. It's not like you're sitting here and taking $100K out and saying, I'm going to go on a clothing shopping spree. You're buying an asset that, you know, historically has grown in the past. You may make less money if, and I do say if, the performance in the past were to continue, which is not a certainty by any means. But this is not the same as pulling out $1,000 out of your brokerage account just so you can go buy the latest Jimmy Choo's. That's a false equivalency. And what we need to overcome to evaluate such, a trade-off and whether it makes sense. So lay off the Jimmy Choo's. But this is the thing where you're like, yeah, it's a lot of time. Is it worth expending some wealth to buy that time? Like I said, I think it's worth strong consideration. Another means of purchasing time is to identify opportunities where time can be saved by hiring help. Hiring help to tackle tasks you may not have the time or energy to accomplish can be a wonderful way of spending some of your earned labor dollars to enjoy more of life, to be less stressed, and to have more time for things you want to do. Goodness, you know, heaven forbid you actually have a hobby. It can also be an opportunity where, by virtue of the time being freed, you're able to focus on more productive tasks that may make you more money than the amount you're spending on labor. For example, I have a team of 3 people that come to my house twice a month to clean it. Those 3 people take an hour and a half each time, twice a month, for about $500. That means for $55 an hour, 9 hours of labor across the house have been taken care of. And if I can earn through my work a rate of pay higher than that amount, hiring the work out to be done by others is potentially a really great trade. Now, it said there are caveats. Many people try to, you know, this sort of approach before they make any money, thinking that if you spend this money and gain all this efficiency, and then it's a savvy investment. Oh, if I build all these systems and processes, if I have all these people coming in, when at the end of the day, if you're not bringing in money, the efficiency of zero does not matter. And the thing is, this doesn't just happen in personal expenses. I've come across many business owners that buy into all these different platforms and virtual assistants, layers upon layers of help, when their business isn't making anything yet. So the thing is, you can spend all your money, be broke on it, but I have a really efficient business model. Yeah, how much money do you make? Oh, let's not talk about that. Oh. So the chicken and egg scenario appears, and it's actually very clear on this, because it really isn't chicken and egg in this case. It is. You need to make the money before you can consider that line of what can I invest in that might gain me some efficiencies and help me live better and be better at what I do. And what's even more wild is that people will spend so much energy and time managing this sort of stuff. I think they actually use it to avoid doing the work. Especially if that work is, I got to make calls, I got to meet people, I need to polish a resume, I need to apply for a promotion. And that's a bad cycle. Pardon me, sorry, sneezing here. And that's a bad cycle all its own. Buying time through hiring services can be very effective. But there really needs to be a well-thought-out plan on how the service is affordable and fits into what you and your family need. And that ultimately, it's you can afford the expense, and it's going to actually save you the time you think it will. So that's number one. Can you purchase time with your wealth? Number two, can you improve the quality of life with your wealth? So another way, apart from purchasing time back with wealth, is to purchase a higher quality of life with it. So the time that you do have is spent enjoying it more. And for some, that might mean purchasing higher quality finishes. Maybe you're doing a renovation of some sort or new furniture. For others, that might mean the means to travel more comfortably or more quickly or more often. Or maybe dress more fancifully or go out to higher end experiences. These can all be reasons to spend or at least pause a bit of wealth building. With these sorts of expenses, especially since most investment sales, if the investment went well, either have capital gains or ordinary income taxes, for me, these tend to personally have a bit of a higher bar for me before wanting to tap into investment dollars, since you're often, there often isn't a tangible asset that's going to retain value. Even if you go and say, well, I'm going to buy new furniture for my living room, that's great. But you're not going to retire by selling that furniture. Quite the opposite. You're going to use it. It'll drop drastically in value. And so it goes. So my preference in this first is not to use investments at all, typically, with this sort of thing. But to try to use cash flow or shorter-term cash savings. If you're going to go in, maybe you set up a separate, almost the envelope method of saving, whether you open up a separate high yield savings account or whatever, but you just drop some money in each month to pay for the thing that's coming down the line. Like, oh, we want to go take a trip to Japan. Cool. You know, you set your target for a year, year and a half out, you put in a certain amount each month, and you'll have most, if not all of the trip fully funded by the time you're ready to go, which is pretty great. The thing is, sometimes the quality of life improvement is so consequential that breaking the seal on the investment savings just makes sense. And this is something we spend a considerable amount of time working with clients in our meetings. It's basically needing to prioritize the needs from the wants, from the nice to haves, and then strategizing and sequencing addressing these improvements and the improvement opportunities as they emerge. Part of that is, you know, probably to a degree, tempering expectations to meet where is the money coming from. Part of it is also balancing now and future and making sure both of those things are adequately dealt with. And if they're not, then it comes down to, you know, in some cases, it may be I want to do this and I want to do that. And not, then you need to make more money or work a second job or do something above and beyond so you can earn above and beyond and make all of it happen. So these are all levers that we work with and consider in financial planning. And that's definitely a way of, I think, of at least thinking about that type of a decision instead of it and just going, well, I feel like going here. I'm just going to rip out, selling this really good stock fund in my portfolio and then go, oh, and I have to pay a pile of taxes and make it even more expensive. Not as great. The third aspect of where I see breaking the seal on investment savings being important is defending an asset. And by that, I typically mean a house. So if you own a house or a condo or whatever, sometimes there are significant expenses that come up. That could be needing new siding, windows, HVAC replacement. And so, as much as, you know, again, you'd prefer, you know, this is where with personal savings, I think having a sinking fund that you deposit money into to just kind of keep in the background to help have more resources for your house is a really good thing. Sometimes the dollar amount just far exceeds where the savings are at that point for it. So this is where investment savings, especially if the market is considerably up and, you know, whatnot, can feel really good to say, let's liquidate a bit of this to defend the house. Because the thing is, if you don't go and repair the siding, you're going to have all sorts of issues that can cause more issues for the house down the line. Same with the windows, same with the HVAC. But the other thing you do, apart from defend the asset, is you're avoiding things like a home equity line of credit or other loan options, which might have interest rates in the 9, 10, 11, 12% range at least. And so you not only make sure that your home stays at the value it's at or even gets a bump up, because people do like it when they have buy a house with new siding or windows or an HVAC. But the other part, too, is that you avoid a potentially, you know, double-digit or close to double-digit loan, which that's a guaranteed loss if you have a loan like that. And that type of rate is very similar to the long-term performance of the market. And so to that end, instead of, yes, you're selling an asset and you're going to have to pay some taxes in order to avoid that interest charge, but unless you can pay that money off right away, and I think it's worth doing some hard calculation with. But if you're looking at it going, I either sell some stock or I could be sitting on this loan for 3, 4, 5 years, you may look at that trade-off, and whether it's the whole amount being sold or a portion, you know, or selling assets to pay for the thing or part of it. Again, what you're doing is the trade-off there is not going into the ether, so to speak. It may feel like it, because there's nothing, in my opinion, terribly sexy about buying siding or windows or HVAC. Just had the air conditioning repaired last week. I will tell you, there is nothing about that. I guess it was cool to have the AC fixed. Ha 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 ha. That's a dad joke. But I think that, you know, those things are not things I'm going to go, ooh, on Instagram today, look at me get my windows replaced. Nope. But it is an important aspect to make sure your home stays valuable, particularly since for most people, that is one of the largest, if not the largest, assets they have for a pretty long time. And if you at some point decide to downsize, you're probably going to be taking some money out of, you know, home with you with respect to that. So definitely worth making sure that the thing you're living in is safe, continues to be safe and sound. But that does mean, you know, sometimes you have to pour resources into it. And at least by liquidating the stock, you're avoiding loan options that could be as bad or worse than paying some capital gains taxes. The fourth one that I see regularly written about, because they're trying usually to sell a franchise or sell an idea, is starting a business. I have heard of many business owners cash out their 401k, cash out their investment savings, cash out, put a second mortgage on the house to start a business. In general, I think that's really risky behavior, although keeping in mind that every person's position is going to be different. And I know the show at the end says this, but I'm just going to say it again. With all of this stuff, make sure that you're, before you go making decisions, none of this is a personal recommendation for y'all. These are ideas to consider. These are ideas to discuss with a professional. If that professional is us, awesome. If it's someone else, awesome. But it's definitely stuff that you don't just go and run and gun on your own. I'm giving you these things to think about, to have good discussions with, and then, you know, draw some conclusions and then make some decisions. So, but really think carefully about not only what you're buying into, but the question I have typically is, are you still okay if it fails? What changes if whatever you're pulling out of investments to start a business, if the business doesn't work, what did you lose and can you afford to lose it? Because if you cannot afford to lose it, then you really shouldn't be, in my opinion, should really, really be thinking carefully about whether or not you should be touching anything like that at all. Now, when I started this business, Briggs Financial, I had, from a couple of other businesses I worked, I had about $50,000 in my personal savings. I didn't have to touch any of it, thankfully, by and large. But I also didn't give up my day job either, in terms of I was still doing a bunch of contractor work in the board game, tabletop game industry, which I continued to do for a few years until this business grew to a point where I could slowly let go of that industry and focus down entirely on the financial world. I'm a big fan, by the way, if you're thinking of a career change, taking an approach like that, especially if it's career change into starting a business, I would strongly encourage you not to throw away your income if you have a good income source. But I'd also think very carefully, like if you're sitting on millions in investment dollars and you're like, hey, I want to take a couple hundred thousand. I think I have a great business idea. You have a business plan, the whole bit. Sure, that's probably doable. You know, obviously devil's in the details, but you probably look at it and go, I can afford to take that risk. And if it fails, I'm still perfectly okay. But a lot of people I hear about doing this would not be okay if their business fails. And many times these investments, unfortunately, turn out to be somewhat or entirely fraudulent. And it can just wipe a person's ability to retire altogether. Because, yeah, you go and say, I want to own this franchise and I have $500,000 in my 401k. I'm going to put $500,000 in this business and it's going to be great. And then you find out 6 months to a year later, I don't like being in this industry, or the market's a lot harder than you thought, or people have fallen out of love with whatever it is you're selling. Well, you're stuck like Chuck with whatever that franchise or business is. And a lot of times those things will go, you know, if you try to resell them, you're getting pennies on the dollar for equipment and you know, things that you bought for the thing that other people will pay you 10 or 20 cents on the dollar. So the bottom line is that the cost of failure can be very high. The price of failure can be very high. And unless you can afford that very negative downside aspect of things, then you may need to wait on it until you're in a position where you can. So that said, if you are in a good spot, it can be a great asset to tap resources into. I mean, one of my great debates internally is building my own portfolio versus plugging more money back into the business and going, hey, this business is growing at a great clip. I should keep investing in the thing. And so it's a lot of fun to do that. But you have to be personally in a good enough position to be able to handle your own personal day-to-day sort of risks and problems and challenges. And oftentimes when people have a thing that is made for their long-term ability to not work, and then they plug it in this thing. Like I said, if the cost of failure is I'm working until I'm 85, I want you to think very carefully about that really being a bet that you're willing to pay out on the other end if it doesn't work out. Meaning, are you really actually willing to work that late? And the other thing is that even if you think you can work that far or for that long, studies from AARP show that isn't what happens. That about half of people drop out of the workforce before age 65, before age 70, or, you know, at least downshifting their work, if not outright out of the workforce, in large part due to health concerns, either for themselves, a family member, a friend, affects their ability to do work. And so if the idea is I'm just going to work until I drop, Stephen, I'm going to look right back at you and say the stats say you aren't. The data says you're not. You're not going to be able to. And so to that end, just be careful on this one. That if you are thinking about starting a business, I'm not saying don't do that. And I'm not saying don't, you know, use assets like that to try to help fuel it. But it's really having a very strong plan of what is this money going to do for you. The fact that you will have to pay taxes likely on it if it grew at all. And at the end of the day, If you're not going to be okay if the business fails, and a lot of businesses do fail, then maybe it's worth reconsidering. Or at least saying, you know what, I need to save up a bit more. Maybe we need to wait a year or two on this idea until these assets continue to grow. And maybe down the line, maybe it's in a couple years' time, maybe it's 3 or 4 years' time where you're like, now I'm ready to go because these assets are at a point where if I fail, I still get to retire. I still don't have to work until I'm 85 years old. So With that, I've covered some, I think, big key points, one of my longer podcasts in some time. So the four big ones I covered this morning, number one, can you purchase time with your wealth? That tends to be a good question when it comes to, should I, you know, consider liquidating some stock or some funds or whatever. Number two, improving the quality of life with wealth. Three, defending an asset. And four, starting a business. So these are four ways that things that tend to come up fairly often where liquidation of investments and tapping into investment savings is being considered. And hopefully I've given you some really strong ideas on how you can think about that in your own personal decision-making. And again, I would just strongly encourage working with a financial or investment advisor and just making sure this is a really good fit for me, along with any tax advisor for any tax consequences and tax planning that may need to happen. So with that, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If there's anything we can do to help, please let us know. You can find all of our episodes of Money is Personal on our website, BriggsWealth.com. And do make sure to like us and share things off of our Facebook. We're right now going through House Resolution 1, which is the tax bill, and giving some different tips and ideas and thoughts on comments on various aspects of that legislation. Non-political, non-partisan, just telling you what it says and thinking about it from the standpoint of what you might be able to do with it to help your own finances. So that's the thrust of everything we do, and we're here to help you with anything that you need. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Be safe, be well, and we'll catch you with a fresh episode soon. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. And check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data for making financial or investment decisions, and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice, and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. This information is not meant as a financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and/or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.